This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been joined in the studio by a bit of a stranger to me. Hello there.
Hello, hello.
That's Arvind Yuvaraj. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been locked in the house for months at a time.
But now you're free.
Now I'm free.
To wander around in the studio where we have to close the doors.
Wander around aimlessly.
Folks, we do have a topic of discussion for you today. Especially if you've been locked inside for so long, we're talking about the internet after that. Mm-hmm. And the question that we're asking you is, do you think it would be possible for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? We are running a poll over on Twitter. That's at BFM Radio. And the options are absolutely not, possibly, and yes. And the reason that we're asking you this question is because after a huge volcanic eruption severed Tonga's lone connection to the global internet, and it's a difficult repair job, they're going to be delving into the ocean. It's going to be a very difficult situation. And we wanted to ask, what impact will this have on the economy of the island nation, and what measures might be taken elsewhere to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again? We're going to be joined on the line a little bit later on in the show, in around 10 minutes, by Matt Armitage from Culture Pop, giving us his opinions on some of the questions that we have. Now, the underwater volcano has erupted several times in the last 13 years, but the most recent on January the 15th was likely its most destructive. The blast has had global consequences. More than 6,000 miles away, waves caused by the eruption drowned two people in Peru. But the effect of the volcanic blast on Tongans living closer to ground zero isn't fully known, though it is feared that the ensuing tsunami may have killed many people and displaced many more from their homes. That's because Tonga has been cut off from the internet, making it that much harder to coordinate aid or rescue missions. And in a highly interconnected world, Tonga is now virtually dark, and it's almost impossible to get word out. Getting the country back online is vital, but it could take weeks. I do hear that they now have a cell phone coverage in places over there. Mm-hmm. Spotty, but it's there. And the reason Tonga fell offline isn't yet known for certain, but initial investigations have suggested that the undersea cable connecting its internet to the rest of the world has been destroyed by that blast.
Yeah, and Tonga mainly uses a single subsea cable to connect the internet. The Tonga cable system runs 514 miles between Tonga and Fiji, bringing internet service to the two island nations. So previously, that connection has been backed by a satellite internet connection, and I guess that they're not able to do that this time because some of the technical failure preventing them from being able to switch over is there. The virtual communications blackout has made relief efforts that already were challenged by the COVID-19 pandemic even more difficult this time. It also underscores the vulnerability of the subsea fiber optic cables that have become the backbone of global telecoms. Mm-hmm. And the $34 million Asian Development Bank and World Bank funded cable was finished in 2018 and boosted Tonga's net speeds between a more than 30-fold, but is almost its sole link to the wider world.
Now, attempts to replicate an emergency satellite connection that was set up when the same cable was severed 3 years ago had stalled, and a contract dispute between the government and Singapore-based satellite operator Kasific, the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said on last week that Tonga was negotiating with Kasific, which has a satellite above the archipelago, to access a satellite internet connection. Also, our favourite billionaire, Elon Musk, has offered to send Starlink internet terminals to Tonga, and in fact tweeted, "Could people from Tonga let us know if it's important for SpaceX to send over Starlink terminals?"
I mean, there's something to be said about timing, but we won't get into that. The tweet soon went viral as Tongans from all over the world replied with pleas for help to re-establish communication to contact families and coordinate assistance. Tongan politician Lord Fusitua responded by saying that, yes, we need them to get liquidity to purchase more much-needed goods. Voice and data completely down with undersea cables severed. Other members of the Tongan community responded positively to Musk's tweet, including Josephine Latou-Sanft, a Tongan communications specialist, who wrote, "I don't know the details of what Starlink can do, but I know you have the technology and means to help." She suggested giving people internet until the undersea cable is repaired, then working with partners to establish robust communication infrastructure across disaster-vulnerable Pacific.
So in response, Elon Musk wrote, quote, "This is a hard thing for us to do right now, as we don't have enough satellites with laser links, and there are already geosats that serve the Tonga region. That's why I'm asking for clear confirmation."
Mm-hmm. So the questions are, like, what would happen if the internet got cut off here or somewhere with a much more global reach, like the US, China, even Europe? Is it even possible for most industries to survive without our digital connection to the outside world anymore, since we're so dependent on the internet? And after the break, we'll be speaking to Matt Armitage from Culture Pop about this question and a whole lot more.
How long do you think you could go without internet off?
Half an hour? 20 minutes?
I think there's a lot of people who will probably give you the same answer to that. Yeah. And it just highlights how so dependent we are on it, right? And it's not about your Instagram and your Facebook. It's about your banking, everything, you know. Anyway, Matt's going to be with us to answer.
It's just about general knowledge of stuff that we talk about. Like, just off air, before the show started, we were talking about Gorillaz and Oasis.
Yeah.
And I immediately Googled Damon Albarn to check his age and what he's doing now, which was just like instant knowledge on your finger. It's not important. It's not stuff that you need on a daily basis. Yeah, but I'm just saying that that's how much of an extension it is, right?
It is, yeah. And of course, if you are in business, any kind of business right now, more than likely you will be heavily reliant on internet for something or other. That's why we're asking you, would it be possible for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? And the options are absolutely not, possibly, or yes. We'll be right back after these messages on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Very shortly, we'll have Matt Armitage on the phone to talk to us a little bit later on about some of the questions that we have regarding our topic of today. What question are we asking of?
So we're asking you, would it be possible for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? Our options on Twitter are absolutely not, possibly, and yes, no problem. Yes, no problem has a 1.9% vote, possibly 5%, and absolutely not at 93.1%.
Wow. Yep. Pretty cut and dry so far then. Mm-hmm. Now, it might seem easy at first, to go without the internet. And in fact, during the pandemic, I'm sure that there are some people out there that wished you could have had no internet for at least 1 month, ourselves here in the studio included. But in reality, I'm sure it's much harder than we think. And even though we might feel the need to disconnect, is it even really possible anymore? On the line with us, hopefully, is Matt Armitage from Culture Pop, and he's going to help us to explore some of the questions that we might have about this. Matt, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, he's there.
Hey, Rich, can you hear me? Yes.
Perfectly fine, young man. Now,
lovely.
So, Matt, have there been other times where an entire nation has been forcefully cut off from the internet?
Well, I can't think of any in terms of this kind of natural disaster. Certainly, there have been countries that have voluntarily cut off their internet as for political reasons. There have been countries that have been effectively cut off again because of cyber attacks. But I can't think of any similar example where an entire nation has gone offline because of a natural disaster. What we tend to see are localized outages because when we see disasters, they tend to be localized. They don't tend to affect the entire nation in the way that that this has affected Tonga.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're hearing that it's going to take at least a month to repair the cables into Tonga. Why is that procedure so difficult?
Simply because it's so complicated. There is a very small number of ships that are capable of repairing undersea cables. They tend to be very busy because, you know, there's a lot of cable repairs that need to be done and maintenance work that needs to be done. So you're looking at the time it takes for a ship to actually sail to Tonga. That could be anywhere from a few days to a couple of weeks. then it actually has to get to work on locating where the break is and repairing the break. And the technology for doing this really hasn't changed a lot over the last 150 years.
We're talking telegram cables.
Yes, exactly. When the first cables were laid in the late 19th century, uh-huh. it's pretty much the same technology. The ship goes out. It's got a little hook that that picks up the cable. They bring it up to the deck of the ship and look where the cable needs to be repaired. And as I think Arvin pointed out earlier, there's one very narrow cable, so it's, you know, you could probably put your hand around the cable. It's yeah. that narrow, and you've got a ship that's traversing the sort of 500 miles or so of the length of the cable to find out where it is actually broken.
Mm-mm. Okay, so we hear your favorite billionaire, Elon Musk. You know, he's offered to help out with Starlink. I mean, what's the real likelihood of us, you know, actually seeing a result from that offer? Or is it more just, you know, Musk doing his normal spin, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think we can take this at face value, but you can see from the fact that he was making a request over Twitter how difficult it is to actually get in touch with officials of the Tongan government yeah. at the moment. I mean, early on after the waves inundated the island, it was reported that government business was essentially being coordinated via one satellite phone. So all of the aid efforts, all of the government efforts were essentially being routed via one person in an office with a satellite phone. So I don't think we should dismiss this. And certainly if those issues with the Singaporean telco can't be overcome to provide those satellite uplinks, mm-hmm. I think Musk could potentially have a role to play in providing connectivity in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the impact on businesses and the economy over in Tonga. Just how bad is it likely to be?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to assess at the moment because the situation on the ground is dark. I mean, Tonga is very reliant on remittances of foreign currency to support the economy. It's also highly reliant on exports for basic foodstuffs. Sorry, imports rather for basic foodstuffs. So it's difficult at the moment. If you cut the island off from those remittances, then it's difficult then for the government to actually be paying and for businesses to be paying mm-hmm. for the goods they need to import to keep the company going. So there may need to be some emergency loans given by other countries to help Tonga in this kind of interim period. But what the impact is likely to be for individual businesses, that really remains to be seen. I mean, it depends on how long it takes to restore basic infrastructure, things like clean water supplies, which are a huge issue at the moment because there's a lot of contamination with volcanic ash. Mm-hmm. And also one of the things we haven't touched on is how damaging volcanic ash is to electronic technology. If you have ash in the engine of your car, if you have ash in your air conditioning units, if you have ash inside any sort of delicate telecommunications equipment, it can cause enormous damage because mm-hmm. the ash itself is extremely sharp and very abrasive. Mm-hmm. So there are all of these other things that we haven't necessarily focused on that are having an impact on the situation on the ground in Tonga.
I've got one question for you here, Matt, just before we take a break. And I think when we come back, we can kind of move into kind of, you know, a bit of a thought experiment. But how much money do you think is likely to have been lost because of this?
I mean, that's pretty much impossible to determine right now. And I mean, I've looked sort of across the internet as well. Nobody has really put a figure to this. As I said, when you go and look at things like UN assessments and whatever, what they're focusing on right now is restoring those basic amenities, mm-hmm. getting food to people, getting the clean water supplies back on and out to people, cleaning up the debris. I mean, at least the airport is fully operational again, so flights are able to come in. But for the first few days afterwards, people were literally, an army of people was literally sweeping the runway mm-hmm. to keep the ash away so that the planes could keep coming in. So, you know, all of these things that you take for granted, and suddenly an army of people has to go out there and is literally brushing a runway. So we don't know how much money is likely to have been lost or what costs this is going to put on the Tongan economy and the Tongan nation.
All right. Thanks for that. We're going to take a short break here, Matt. Stick with us, folks. So, of course, we're on the phone with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We're talking to you about the damage the volcanic eruption has had over on Tonga and what impact it's had on their economy and things. But we wanted to talk to you really about would it be possible or not for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? We are running a poll over on Twitter. That's at BFM Radio. The options that you have are absolutely not, possibly, and yes. We'll be back with more questions for Matt after these messages. We've got a very short break coming up right here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Balanced, frank, medium. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvini Braj.
And over there on the phone line, I am joined by
Matt Armitage.
There he is. Now, we are talking to you about after a huge volcanic eruption severed Tonga's lone connection to the global internet. Difficult repair job. We're going to have to delve deep into the ocean. What impact will this have on the economy of the island nation, and what measures might be taken elsewhere to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again? We are asking you, would it be possible for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? The options are absolutely not, possibly, and yes. Over to Twitter.
On Twitter, 1.8% voted for yes, no problem. 4.9% for possibly, so that's going down. 93.3% for absolutely not. We have a couple of tweets. This comes from CC, who says, could you do it without water for a week?
Well, no.
Yeah. Naya says, almost impossible, but why are you asking? Because we're talking about the eruption in Tonga and how they've been cut off from the internet and whether they can survive and what impact that has economically and, you know, on the island itself, on the island's people. Mm-hmm. We have a WhatsApp message from Chia, who says that impossible. Internet is life now. It's a necessity, like cooking oil, sugar, salt, bathing soap and all that stuff, and coffee too.
Okay, do you want to pick up the questions with Matt? We've got another question for you here.
Yeah, so Matt, so now, I mean, we know that the eruption couldn't have been avoided, obviously, but in terms of future-proofing internet connectivity on the island, what could have been done that already hadn't been done before?
Again, it's a really difficult question because from the reports that I've read, even if there had been secondary or tertiary backup cables, those too could have been severed or damaged by the same volcanic eruption because you're talking about movements in the seafloor. So that leaves you with the options of things like increasing your satellite uplink capability, which of course is a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. So for a nation like Tonga, that might not be at this point a realistic choice. So that goes back to kind of the Starlink and the other satellite internet connectivity systems we've seen. I think Facebook and Google have had ideas for this over the years. What we really need, if we want to kind of make sure that these countries don't face these kind of issues in the future, is to have these kind of low-cost satellite internet connectivity systems. But even saying that, and having said that, because of the electromagnetic radiation that can be released during volcanic eruptions, satellite connections can be disrupted as well. So it can actually destroy a lot of the technology on the ground. So it's very difficult to say that more could have been done, because when you have natural disasters of this scale, they simply overwhelm our technological efforts to defeat them.
Okay, so let's have a little bit of a thought experiment then, Matt. You know, just how reliant are we on the internet? You know, can we live without it? Can we do without it?
In the short term, no. I mean, you know, we talk about this. I think you mentioned your listeners just now. You know, it's impossible to go without the internet for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes. We've become very personally reliant, but what we have to do is look at how our national infrastructures are built around digital technology. So in the short term, it would be very difficult, especially as during this pandemic, we've seen a lot more of a pivot towards digital technology because it was humans that were the weak link in all of those logistics chains. So we've seen a lot more moves towards technology. In the short term, it would be difficult to do without these kind of technological links, because if you look at the way that manufacture and the delivery of goods is actually planned out, we have just-in-time manufacture, which relies on a lot of systems being coordinated to bring in raw materials and to produce things in time and to get them delivered. So these enormous logistics chains depend on the internet for a large part, and of course the financial transactions behind them that allow these things to move around the globe. So can we do without it? No, not in the short term. In the longer term, yes, of course we can, because up until a few years ago we didn't have the internet, and the global economy functioned pretty well, if less efficiently and rather slower than it does today. But it would take an awful lot of time and an awful lot of disruption and possibly a lot of social upheaval and trouble as well if you were to have to pivot back to that digital technology-free model of economic thought.
Can I just expand on that a bit? Since you say it would take like a longer time, how long are we talking about? Like months, years, a decade until we went back to like what, the mid-90s?
No, I mean, you'd probably be looking at, I would say it would be maybe 2 to 3 years. So you'd have a lot of short-term shocks. And again, you know, this isn't, don't take my word as gospel here, but certainly for the first sort of 3 to 6 months, you would see those kind of food shortages. You'd see the shelves being empty. That could persist for up to a year, depending on, again, how quickly shipping companies can change their model and react. Because you're also talking about changing the way that a lot of businesses are staffed as well. You suddenly need a lot more people to do physical paperwork that hasn't been done. So you're looking at training all those people as well. You're looking at the additional costs that this brings in. So you could be looking at a lot of inflationary pressures around the world as a result of having to go back to this model because of the added costs on everybody. Because again, suddenly you can't just file all your export and import paperwork online. You've actually physically got to either mail it to someone or deliver it to an office. You need all of these people to process that information as well. You need places to store all of those pieces of paper that are now being generated. So, you know, there's a lot of complexity involved in going back to that non-digital model.
So could you give us some examples where not having the internet has had a serious impact on people of a nation, on, you know, like their business, their identity, stuff like that?
I think one of the best examples is the cyber attacks that happened in Estonia in 2007. Now, there were huge DDoS attacks, mostly against the government, financial and media institutions. What happened was that Estonia was kind of leading the world at the time in terms of its digital transformation. It was one of the first countries where people were doing largely cashless transactions, using their cards to pay for everything from, you know, a loaf of bread to petrol or whatever. And suddenly they couldn't make any digital transactions. The Visa terminals and everything weren't functioning. They weren't able to get money out either because the banks weren't working, the ATMs weren't working. You had this situation where most of the newspapers, the physical print newspapers, had already closed. Most people got their information online. and those media institutions went down as well. So there was a lack of information for people about what was happening. They couldn't access government services either. The government websites were down. So it became this huge blackout where people were frozen out economically, but also frozen out from their sources of information. So that's probably the biggest example. And we've seen sort of more limited attacks a few times in Ukraine over the last decade as well. And of course, you know, we've seen various kind of state-sponsored or thought to be state-sponsored hacks across the world to limit people's access to the internet and just to kind of create chaos on the ground. Mm.
Folks, if you're only just joining us, we are asking you a question over on Twitter. That question, again, is, do you think you or your business could go without the internet for 1 month? Absolutely not. Possibly or yes. Matt Armitage is on the phone with us right now. If you have a comment, you can quickly get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We do have one more question from Matt coming up right now, though. Matt, now, you briefly mentioned it just a few minutes ago. We've had this whole worldwide push to go digital. And something like this has kind of really highlighted just, you know, how putting all of your eggs in one basket and how dangerous that can be. Do we need some kind of backup plan, do you think? And if we do, do you have any suggestions apart from writing everything down?
Well, no. I mean, that's pretty much the only backup we've got is going back to paper and doing things physically. So do we need a backup plan? I would argue that no, we don't, because that backup plan would take us months or years to implement anyway. What we have to do is to make sure that our digital infrastructure is a lot more robust, but also that we do have that capacity to do, you know, what Elon Musk is offering to do, to bring additional capacity into countries that are facing these kind of natural shocks. I mean, we've seen as well. I mean, just think how difficult it was to coordinate the efforts in Malaysia during the recent floods, and the internet was still on. People still, you know, they were still connected, but it was still incredibly difficult to coordinate things on the ground. So, what we need is this flexibility, but having a backup plan that enables us to go fully manual, I think that's probably impractical. What we just need to do is to improve the kind of reactivity of the digital systems that we have, and to ensure as well that if we are cut off from the outside world, at least those connections within the country work as well. I mean, one of the big issues in Tonga wasn't just that the internet had gone down, but it was that cell phone networks had gone down as well.
Yeah.
So that people didn't have the ability to talk from one village to another. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that we need to make sure don't happen. Mm-hmm.
We hear that the cell phone networks, some of them are back up and running now. Is that correct, Matt?
From what I hear, but it's very kind of patchy. So it's, you know, it's not island wide. And of course, Tonga's more than one island anyway. So, you know, you're talking at these kind of outlying islands as well. So it's going to be a while before they manage to restore those full networks. But yes, at least there is some kind of inter-island connectivity at the moment.
All right. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. Of course, that was Matt from Culture Pop. Now, we did ask you a question at the top of the show. The question was?
The question we are asking you is, would it be possible for you or your business to not have the internet for 1 month? We have a couple of few options. Absolutely not, possibly, and yes, no problem. Yes, no problem has 1.8%, possibly 5.9%, and absolutely not at 92.3%.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Anything over on WhatsApp before we quickly wrap up?
No more WhatsApps.
Folks, you've been tuned into Enterprise Biz Bytes with myself, Rich Bradbury, and Arvind Yuvaraj, of course. We've been talking about how the eruption over in the volcano in Tonga has cut them entirely off from the world's internet. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available from the Apple App Store and Google Play. I want to thank Matt once more again for joining us on the show. We'll be back for Enterprise Biz Bytes tomorrow at the same time, same place at noon here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.